right. Well, good morning, David. we're gonna bring in David Tarachuk here in just a moment with the Media Beat, and welcome him on board after we by playing God Save the Queen. I know I half of you thought that wasn't God Save the Queen when it started off, but we Americans ripped off that. Good morning, David. How are you?
Well, I'm glad to be with you.
We just.
I'm sorry, I'm not in London to be with you over the phone from there, but I'm glad to be with you.
I had to, right before we came to you, I played God Save the Queen.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Well,
I'm very touched. That's very nice for me to arrive somewhere just after the British National Anthem has been played.
Well,
it gives me delusions of grandeur, of course, but no, I'm pleased to know that.
But the great thing about God Save the Queen, of course, when you first hear it, if you're an American, I would bet you 50% of the Americans thought I was playing a different song.
Well, it's one of those tunes that's got around the world in various different forms.
That's it.
Yes. But yeah, for us, it's a very solemn, there are still many sporting occasions and such like where it's played, but we're not as wedded to our national anthem as I think Americans are. Certainly it doesn't predominate in sports the way that the American national anthem does tend to predominate the public airing of sporting occasions.
No,
the two things are not so firmly associated with each other, sport and the national anthem. Well, not for the Brits.
The reason I played it, the main reason is, of course, we all know that as we speak, Donald Trump is in England. This has been, depending on which way you look at it, a very bumpy ride. But what's interesting...
For everyone concerned, yeah, I think.
What's interesting is, especially when he goes to England and what he did this morning, actually late last night after a meeting, which is basically try to unseat the prime minister. And Jill Goodman and I talked about this all week long, that various forces like Rupert Murdoch and everybody like that have been trying this now for a while. And Donald Trump got in on the action late last night with that interview that was released this morning.
Sure. Theresa May, the prime minister, is a prime minister under siege. There's no doubt about that. And there's been a lot of piling on. The Murdoch newspapers are, of course, part of that. They always are. They always are a big feature in British politics. Normally, most of the time, running towards the right, the political right. One different occasion for that historically was when the Murdoch newspapers, The Sun included, the newspaper that carried the interview today with Trump, actually opted in 1994 to support Tony Blair, the Labour Party candidate. And that was a major shift in the newspaper's politics. Rupert Murdoch, as he's controlled his empire for so long, is, of course, a man of the right. But he's also a man of realism, and what he tends to do is to sniff the air, see how the wind is blowing, and that certainly happened in the 90s when after a long period, 17 years of the Labour Party, the socialists, the democratic socialists of Britain being out of power, suddenly got back in again. And once it became clear that they were going to get back in, well, guess what? The Sun newspaper and all the other organs that Rupert Murdoch controls came in supporting Tony Blair and Labour as well. In this current situation, there's very little doubt where the Murdoch empire has its sympathies. They're Brexit people. They've been for Britain coming out of Europe. And, of course, they campaigned very strongly 2 years ago for the referendum result to be when the British were asked if they wanted to leave Europe and commit Brexit. We talk about committing Brexit these days because it's starting to look a little like committing suicide. They voted for people to commit to commit Brexit, they had some very strong campaigning along those lines. And now that they've got the result that they wanted, it's still being wrangled over. Theresa May is having a terrible time going along with it, which of course she had to constitutionally. That was how the referendum was set up. It was binding on the government. And now she's having a bad time negotiating her way out of the alliance, if you like, the economic and political alliance that is the European Union. In having those difficulties, she's having a life made much worse for her by her own team splitting underneath her. The foreign minister, who's very much a Murdoch type, if you like. He's very much in some ways a Trump type. He's Boris Johnson. He has a big floppy blonde hair. He's a bit of a buffoon in public behavior. I say a bit of, carefully. Many people would regard him as a complete buffoon. He's not. He's in many ways like Trump, but he has a lot more political smarts than Trump has. They've spoken a lot. They seem to admire each other in what they say about each other, at least. He has a track record which, as I say, involves a lot of buffoonery, but also a lot of political nous as well. He's by background, he's a journalist. I'm not sure what that says entirely about him, but he does have a grasp of political subtlety that Trump doesn't have. You wouldn't know that to see his behavior at the moment. He's resigned, as well as the guy who's been in charge of David Davis. He's been in charge for a while now of doing this negotiation, of getting out of Europe, and that's a pretty thankless job. And he and Boris Johnson have both resigned, giving Theresa May another embarrassment, of course.
Now, before we go on with that, I just wanted to ask you one question. As an American citizen, I've only seen one United States president go abroad and really lambaste a foreign country, and that was Ronald Reagan in Germany. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. But, sure, of course, yeah. Russia was not an ally.
That's right. And for Trump to get in on the act and do the Theresa May knocking that he's been doing, that's one of the favored phrases of the tabloid press here, The Sun included. If you knock someone, you're being very anti them and expressing it very strongly. And yes, I mean, the Brits are appalled. I mean, I think it's fair to say that in general, the behavior during this for this formal visit, not, by the way, a complete and full state visit. That's not what it is, and we can go into the details of that if you like. But the man is representing his country, a great ally. The British think of America as their best ally, in many ways their longest ally. The country is playing host to the allied country, the leader of that allied country, and the leader of that allied country starts to attack the British leader.
And this is where I want to...
It's bad form, I think the British would call it. Bad form.
And this is where I would like to interject, because bad form though it may be, this has been going on, although not... And this is where Marshall and I entered into it about 8 days ago when it started. All right,
with the resignation. It's been going on a while, that's true.
And what is really noticeable, at least to me, but also surprisingly to Marshall, was, I mean, this, you are just watching, it seems, choreography that has been predetermined.
But none of it comes as a surprise. Yeah. That's true, except in the format in which it comes. Very formal dinner, an awful lot of nice things being said in public, and then suddenly when the scene changes, and it's not a different public, but it's a different setting, but it's in public. The president of the United States turns on the prime minister of its closest ally. And says that she's doing, and says all those unpleasant things about her, and even formally backs Boris Johnson, who everyone in Britain knows is, nothing would him. I mean, he lives to be prime minister himself. I mean, that is a very clear he constantly expresses his ambitions to be in that office. That's not the kind of public behavior we expect from politicians. Of course, we know there's enmity involved. We know that despite all Theresa May's efforts to cozy up to Trump, and she was his first foreign leader visitor. After all, the moment he got elected, she was over there trying to get a trade deal fixed to take the place, well, in large part to take the place of Britain's membership in Europe. And they seemed to be very good friends then. They held hands, remember, rather famously, as Trump walked a little unsteadily down a slope.
Well, they did They did it last night.
And of course they did. Yes, of course. I mean, all these optics, as the politicians talk about, are constantly in need of reinforcing. But then the verbals, as it were, to contrast with the optics, are directly in 180 degrees opposite.
There's a basic rule, and if you accept an invitation to come to somebody's house, you don't bash them the minute you walk out of their house.
That's what the Brits are finding so offensive.
Current
round of Trumpery.
No excuse for it.
Excuse. I am saying the fascinating part is, since just about everybody understands that and agrees, and since yesterday morning everyone is flapping about, and when I say everyone, I watched the press conference, but nobody else did apparently, flapping about how the U.S. was withdrawing from NATO, thank you very much. That was yesterday. People just shocked and awed that.
But if you watched the press conference like I watched a replay of it yesterday, you saw a president stand up there and once again change 180 degrees from what he said the day before. You cannot believe a thing this man says.
But you should also fully understand that no one was withdrawing from NATO, even though that was.
Everybody knew that.
Right. Okay, so let's take that everybody knew that, and let's extrapolate to today. Since everybody knows that you don't go to somebody's house and do
it's
this.
Not this it's, you can't compare the two.
Yeah, you can,
I think you can.
All right, well, just I posit the following, since there will be another press conference in an hour from the time that we're doing the show, that this has been if nothing else.
You can't explain this away.
I'm not explaining it away. I'm saying it's preordained.
Well, it's certainly been set in stone for some time that the one consistent thing you can rely upon from this president of the United States is inconsistency. Except that, I want to posit this thought on you, too. This is the way political analysis is going in Britain at the moment. Yeah, people are shocked by the manners because Brits can get very worked up about manners, it is a kind of basic thing that you don't behave like a very bad guest and insult your host. But more importantly, as political analysts try and find some, not explanation so much as some rationale, perhaps some exposition of what may be lying behind all this, you've got very serious-minded political analysts at the London School of Economics and such on, and such like are suggesting that, look, the only thing that makes all of this behavior consistent is the notion that Trump is out to reform what is loosely called the world order. Now, that's imaginable, I suppose. The man does have grandiose ambitions in many ways. But the thinking here is that, yes, he wants to unravel the grand alliances of our post-war world, NATO, the European Union, and many other global arrangements that we've had. And he wants to, instate, for the first time, I suppose, a Western approach to politics and international geopolitics that reflects much more a reality that is all about superpowerdom, that and with a superpowerdom comes a degree of autocracy in that form of thinking. So you have a tripolar world of the United States, Russia, and China, and two of those happen to be autocracies. And it seems that Trump does admire autocracies, and in some ways, it's arguable, is trying to push the United States and its allies towards an attitude that goes along with that. Now, I'm not saying that I support that theory, but it's intriguing that serious-minded observers of the scene in London see what's going on there now and did go on in Brussels just over the last 2 days before that as evidence that this is more of that, you know, with a capital D, disruption going on that Trump is the spearhead for.
And with that in mind, I just wonder, in as much as it came up, it was in the Sun. You know, that's where this article
was. It
was
in the Sun, as the Sun often says itself in one of its catchy headlines. It's the Sun what made it. It's the Sun what did it. That's what they said, for instance, after an election result that went their way. They will claim credit for it. And of course, you know, the Sun was the one that got Trump to do this interview, on his way, indeed, from Brussels to London, and they had it in the can, and they let it out of the can last night. Everybody knew it was coming. What was being said got known at that formal dinner at Blenheim Palace.
Right, well, they're in the midst of the...
In the midst of all those niceties,
right.
Yes.
And again, that's the part that says to me, you know, okay, yeah, that was...
Yeah, well, yeah, this is what... it's no more than you might expect, I suppose, is what a lot of Brits are saying now, too. Not just that it's shocking behavior, but but we're used to shocking behavior from this particular president.
I wouldn't call it...
And in these particular political circumstances, too.
It's no longer shocking behavior. It's just boorish behavior.
But sure.
And because we no longer are shocked by it. I mean, the press reports they're shocked by it, but people are no longer shocked by it. They expect it, and it's just plain boorish behavior that if you were a child and you had a parent, sooner or later the parent would either smack you or send you to a children's home. But that's not the way things are now.
I'd bring up one media matter in relation to this, though, that is all about the behavior. It's all very entertaining, and of course it's all done for the optics, and it's all part of the to and fro of politics everywhere. But we all know about the Trump baby balloon that is floating above the Palace of Westminster while all this is going on. It went up just a couple of hours ago as we speak now. That blimp, or that big balloon, sort of Thanksgiving Day parade type balloon, is an image of Trump as a big orange baby with bright yellow hair and a diaper on with a safety pin. It's the imagery of raucous mockery in a grand political tradition in Britain. But it's interesting that the journey taken by the mayor of London, who was also one of Trump's targets, of course, and has been a Trump target for some time, and as you know, I've spent some time with Mayor Sadiq Khan, and we've talked a lot about this spat that's been going on between the two leaders, one the leader of a city, one the leader of the greatest, you know, one of the most powerful nations in the world, but possibly the most powerful. And it's interesting to see what his journey has been. He has allowed that to happen. But what's not being reported now about this whole visit and this whole creative protest, as it's being called, is that he didn't want to do that in the first place. He thought it was bad form. But in the end, he was the decision maker. The interesting thing is that the site where that balloon is tethered is right beside Parliament, but it's not parliamentary land. It is actually land that belongs to the city. And he, as the mayor of the city, had the last word about whether that protest should be allowed. And of course, you know, again, in a great tradition of allowing protests of all kinds and freedom of speech, and that, you know, that's important in Britain too. Sometimes Americans forget that, but Magna Carta is the original constitutional edict, if you like, about free speech, which long predates the U.S. Constitution. And yes, Sadiq Khan ended up saying, yeah, let it fly, and he's now defending it, saying this is a fine example, well, not perhaps a fine example, but an example of free speech which needs defending. And, you know, he got back at Trump this morning after Trump's words, saying that Sadiq Khan was doing a, quote, terrible job in London, meaning only that he's allowed terrorist bombs to go off and terrorist attacks to go to take place. That apparently is a reason for him to be described as doing a terrible job. But Khan's response was to say that, actually, in a fairly muted way, saying that Trump is clearly concerned about what Brits think of him. Clearly, he cares about what Britain thinks about him, and he says that what he encounters Trump as he visits Britain now is a country that is comfortable with its diversity. That's a dog whistle phrase for the left, of course, and that's something for him not to fear, but to be comfortable with. And of course, he's trying to paint Trump as a man who's afraid of diversity, and that's a good way, arguably, for him to get back at the Trumpery that's coming his way.
You know, what's interesting about what you said about him originally opposing it, the only reason I know about that is because, thank God, our major network is the BBC network, and they reported on that over the past two or three days, that originally he was against it, but after speaking with members of the ruling government and with people, that it was a right of free speech, and he decided to let it go. So kudos to the BBC.
Yeah, and like a canny politician, and Sadiq Khan is many things, but one of them is a canny politician. He could see how the groundswell was going, rather like Murdoch. You know, he put his finger in the air and see how's the wind going here, and it became very clear that to ban that balloon would give a lot more trouble than allowing it to fly. So many people did want to make their distaste for Trump's visit apparent. And we'll see it in a couple of hours. We'll see it on the streets of London too. It's interesting that every event that Trump is being part of during this visit is happening away from the street, well away from the streets. Blenheim Palace is not Buckingham Palace. That's the whole point. This is not a state visit. No. He was hustled out of town for this grand display last night in a palace in 2,000 acres of land that kept people away from it. It's not the Buckingham Palace thing of riding through the streets of London into the Buckingham Palace in the company of the Queen.
More intentionally, and you can take a helicopter, as President Obama did, and was met at Windsor, and in and out of Regent's Park to the ambassador's residence, and none of this is a coincidence. But
yeah, none of it is new either as a tactic, but it's it's significant, and it's there on the record and there to be duly noted, and Trump will probably ignore it. He'll tell us all that he had a wonderful time, the Brits were extremely welcoming to him. He already has, even after this to and fro over what he said about Prime Minister May. He's still saying that, yeah, we have a great relationship.
And again, in now 45 minutes, we'll hear something, some more exposition. But I wanted to say, we have to wrap up. But you have mentioned twice, and I think that this is these are two words that people need to focus on, and that is canny politician. Because, in a lot of ways...
That is what we're dealing with here, yeah, yeah. Maybe not in Trump's case.
I'm not talking about Trump.
He's certainly a politician. I mean, we used to think of him as just a showman, but clearly there are political forces at work here, and he is representing them.
Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, The Media Beat.